You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello everyone and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast. It's Rich Hobbs here stepping in for little Dan from the match day preview. Joining me this evening, I've got Tom Gibson, I've got Sam Pickering, and we're going to talk obviously about Fulham at the weekend, but we're also going to talk a bit about some of the goings on at Wolves this week, because we got a Percy bomb, guys. Just as I was worried that we'd have to fill in some content, you'd have to do a quiz, all the usual stuff. We got a Percy bomb. So effectively, so part of it, I guess, stuff we already kind of know in terms of Neto, but we're going to talk about it. I guess the initial one is that Gary O'Neill is set to get a new ramped up contract in the summer. Really, by all accounts, and you can't blame it from the club, but, you know, 7 months in the job, he's getting lined up for a longer term deal. Shrewd move from the club, do you think, Tom?
Yeah, definitely the right thing to do. He deserved it, 100%. I think when he joined as well, he was one of the lowest paid managers. So with what he's done, 100%. I think he'll definitely have a big wage boost. Hopefully we can back him in the summer if that's in his plans.
Well, yeah, I guess the contract, Sam, is less about his earnings in a way, isn't it? It's more about sort of securing him from potential either other suitors higher at the table, maybe.
Yeah, 100%. He'll be a much more lucrative prospect than he was, say, for example, after Bournemouth. I mean, I know a lot of Bournemouth fans were kind of a bit unhappy with how he was treated and how he was just let go. And we weren't maybe that overwhelmed when we got him. But yeah, as Tom said, I think he 100% deserves to be in the conversation for manager of the year. And he absolutely deserves a new contract. He's more than earned it.
Definitely. I think, as sort of Tom, you were saying, you know, he needs backing in the summer. But we're going to talk about injuries at some point today. This squad ain't quite big enough or robust enough to cope with the with playing that many games. We need reinforcements. Does having Gary O'Neill, again, he's kind of proven his worth now, and I think that might have been still a little bit of a worry in January to really kind of back him in terms of his blueprint for the club. Yeah. I say either one of you, to be honest.
Yeah,
gone.
Yeah, like what I just said, really. I think, you know, other clubs probably are or was looking at him. Clubs probably still are. I know at one point he was linked to the England job as well. So I think it's very proactive from Wolves to do what they're doing. And I think it's refreshing. It's refreshing to see. It's not last minute. It's everything is clearly being planned out.
I think getting in front of early is going to be key, isn't it?
Especially in a time where we're seeing clubs who are maybe being mismanaged or maybe jumping the gun a little bit on transfers or wages and bad decisions, which are causing them to be, say, for example, sanctioned because of FFP violations. Mm. It's just nice to have that security with, you know, we maybe thought we might not have after we had Lopetegui and we saw that we'd lost all this money. But we've steadied the ship now when against all the odds, and which is, again, just reinforces my idea that O'Neill deserves 100% deserves a new contract for everything he's done for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy. Okay, he was bought in as a firefighter. Effectively, he was brought in at the last minute because there was kind of nobody else, and he's, you know, his stock's risen and his contract should sort of reflect that. And we had a great comment on YouTube, of course. Big thanks to everyone who's listening. If you've not already, make sure you like, share, subscribe on YouTube, etc. But Danny P says, salary boost presumably meant to dissuade the likes of West Ham, leaving only the less likely destinations, Big Six / England. I mean, stranger things have happened than Gary O'Neill going to England. I think there's still a few other names potentially.
Yeah,
Necessarily better, but
I did have this internal discussion with myself about O'Neill for England because I've heard rumblings of it, and I thought it was just Wolves fans maybe just giving him them, you know, a bit more, you know, leverage. But I think look what happened with Southgate. Southgate didn't have that much pedigree going into that job, aside from obviously what the work he did with the younger squads. But he, you know, as a club manager, he never really succeeded. But O'Neill is proving that he can, and you know, like you've said, Rich, stranger things have happened. So, and we mustn't rule it out. I think West Ham is a more likely candidate for him, you know. But with given all this talk about Moyes potentially not getting a new contract, and someone like O'Neill, like an up and coming manager, would be a much more attractive avenue for a club like West Ham.
Yeah, I think especially with O'Neill's ties down south as well. I'm pretty sure he still lives / his family are down there. So I can sort of see it, but you never know, do you? Again, in the article, and we've had a couple of comments already on it regarding kind of Pedro Neto's future. In the article by... we've got Wolves would expect a club record fee, one comfortably exceeding the 53 million Man City paid for Mateus Nunes last summer for the 23-year-old to leave. But with Mendes being his agent, Wolves would expect a fully formed deal with Neto's chosen club to be presented to him in the summer. As with Nunes, Wolves would attempt to push the price up, but their ongoing links to Mendes means a deal is likely to be reached, which... again, just sort of scream, it's going to happen, but it's just finding the right club for him at this point. And, you know, you can't besmirch him to a degree that he is still young, but I guess he's kind of teasing nicely. Adrian Richards in the YouTube comments says, if you weigh it up, if we get 70 plus million for Neto, and reinvest, given his interest records, would it be a disaster?
I mean, the thing is with Neto, if he wasn't injury prone, he would have already left, I think.
Mm.
I think you look at, like, for example, that lockdown season under Nuno, when he was unreal, and then he had that knee injury and he was out for a bit again. And then obviously he's come back and he's like exceeded from what he was in the lockdown period. And he's like playing the best football he's pretty much ever played. But he's also gone and got injured in the season. But when he's fit, he's unreal. Like I was saying to my mate, I said if he wasn't injury prone, he would have already left Wolves 100%. But I don't think it would have been... I think it'd be like a really big move. Like I could see him going to like Madrid, or, you know, like maybe a City or something, like a massive Champions League club. Because I do think he's that good personally.
Yeah, I think the only way we'll actually maybe keep him for at least another season would be if we get Europe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any other way? Because it surprises me when you mentioned earlier that he's 23 years old. It feels like we've had him for ages, but then again, we signed him when he was what, 19, something like that. So he's the fact he's arguably still got the best years ahead of him if he can stay fit. And yeah, I agree with Tom. You know, he probably would have already left by now, and maybe would have been courted by someone like Man City or Liverpool or Arsenal have been sniffing around. If you listen to the rumours, and he's a world beater and could easily have got up and left ages ago.
I mean, I will say, and this is only through doing a little bit of double checking very quickly on Wikipedia, he is 23, but he does actually turn 24 on Saturday.
Oh, well, so,
I mean, whether your perception of a 23-year-old being younger than a 24-year-old being not young massively impacts it, I don't know. But you're right. I think there is that big question mark in terms of, I guess, you know, how much he'll go for. And for me, that big sticking point is, I think clubs will be put off spending a lot of money on someone who has had injury troubles, and you know, it's taken a while to recover. That, like, this sort of season has been his best, basically, say since 2020-21, when you're sort of fully fit and starting every week, and obviously picked up a really bad knee injury. But it to then take several years to recover to then get to your top form again, I don't think clubs will want to wait. And I think that would be that's going to be the sticking point. And, you know, you might get some who, you know, fly in the face of FFP and whatever and go, well, you know what, Man United will go, yeah, Sonic will have him because we can afford to spend 70 million and get it wrong. But I think more teams are going to struggle to do that. I think realistically, I think you said, Tom, I could see him more likely going to somewhere like Atletico Madrid. And somewhere sort of slightly different, but whether they'd pay, you know, 60 million plus for a guy, I don't quite know. But I think we just got to enjoy him for the next few games, haven't we, to be honest? Because the writing seems a little bit on the wall. And say if we can somehow get Europe, an extra season with Wolves, he's tied down to the club until 2027. So even if he plays another year and plays till 2025, then like the extra year on the contract, it's not going to be too troublesome, I don't think, and it's only going to raise his stock having an extra year playing in Europe, to be honest. So yeah, fingers crossed that happens, but you never know, do you?
I think the problem is as well, it reminds me of like when we had Neves, like we had this thing about Neves every summer that he was going to leave, and you know, there was a couple of times before he did leave where he was waving and you could see like he was tearing up, and you know, everyone thought he was going to leave. Everyone was preparing for it. And then he'd just rock up the next season and do his best again. But I read an article about that and, you know, apparently deals had fell through with like Arsenal and Barcelona and whatnot. I'm not sure how true they are. But I think that could be a similar case with Neto. I think a lot of clubs will come in for him. Say, let's say he gets injured by the end of this season. No one's going to be interested. It's only when he's on in form that clubs want to come in for him. But I personally don't think he's going to leave, because I think Wolves are in a very strong position with his contract. I think a lot of clubs will be put off by his injury record. And because of the strong position Wolves are in, I think we're going to demand, rightfully so, a good amount. But I don't think clubs will pay them.
Yeah, I think we hold all the cards here. I think with his contract being down till 2027, and you know, as Tom said, his injury record, I think it's in our hands. If unless he, you know, does a Nunes and throws his toys out the pram and doesn't turn up to training or anything like that, and maybe forces things through a bit, then that will complicate it. But otherwise, I think, you know, I think it's clear that Neto is really enjoying himself at Molineux. He loves the team, he loves the fans, he loves the club, and he's enjoying his football. He just needs to keep consistent, and that'll only happen if he doesn't get kicked or doesn't, you know, do his hamstring again.
Yeah, and we a couple of interesting comments on YouTube again. Unlikely his value is ever going to be higher than this summer, assuming he stays fit through the end of the season. So is it, you know, buy the, you know, sell at the right time for a club? Another one from Adrian Richards, guys, the strategy is to sell to buy better, unless we sell say 70 million, but it's going to be someone else. And I get it, because actually we are still hamstrung by FFP. We are still making losses left, right and centre. I know we are still within the margins and things like that. But if we're able to sell a player for 70 million and make a £60 million profit on him and buy two players who are worth 20 million who can potentially do a similar job, then it is appealing on a numbers game, isn't it? On an emotional level, it's kind of not. But yeah, it's so tricky in terms of one having to sell a player, which, you know, more and more clubs are kind of going to probably have to do, I think. But talking of injuries, that kind of nicely leads us on to bits and bobs around Fulham. He is still doubtful for the game. I mean, there's things coming out saying that he's not been seen in any of the training videos, doing the outfield exercises on the pitch. I mean, the big question is, do you risk playing Neto? Bearing in mind his hamstring might not be 100%, but this is a league game against a team who could leapfrog us, I believe, going forwards. Or just make sure we kind of wrap in cotton wool for the FA Cup match for weekend after.
I'd rest him, personally. I think if he's not fit, and the record he's already got, I think we're stupid to play him. Because you know what's going to happen. If he's not fully fit, and you play him in that game, he is going to run a lot for you. That is a good thing about Neto. But if he gets injured again, and he's out for Coventry, and say, you know, we get to Wembley, and that's when you need your players like Neto. You need them in them big moments. I know as well, you know, you want to do as well as you can in the league, but I think at the same time, you can't have both. I think like we can't go and get Europe and like go and try and win the FA Cup at the same time with the squad we've got and how thin we are. I just don't really think that's possible. I think if he's not fully fit, then rest him. I think a main focus is getting back to Wembley and having a go at the cup.
Yeah, I the recent example that I can think of is a few weeks ago when Crystal Palace played Michael Olise when he was barely walking on one leg, and they brought him on half time, and he got injured after what I think 19 minutes, I think it was, something like that. Then he had to go off again and just made it worse. And you know, we'd be shafted if that happened with Neto. Especially with you know, Coventry Cup coming up next week and potentially a visit to Wembley, we'd regret it massively. The only thing I worry about is, as we've said, how light we are up front in general, with, you know, no Cunha, no Huang, no Neto potentially, and you know, we've got Bellegarde and Fraser. We are very thin on the ground up front, and we are quite lucky that we have, you know, compared to recent seasons, we've had a good goal scoring record. Like, goals are coming from all over the place. So we're not having to rely as much on strikers as much, but it is a concern. But I'd be with Tom, wouldn't play Neto, I wouldn't risk him if he is as injured as reports are saying.
Yeah, I'd be very tempted to leave him out as well. It kills me saying it. Again, YouTube's very much agreeing, risk reward says leave him out. Ed Marshall, all in on the cup. You know, It makes sense for me. And I think particularly with the type of injury he's got, it feels like it's very susceptible to kind of go. He is in that red zone, as I guess the pros would say. And I'd rather him rest a week and get him back up to 100% rather than us risk him at 75% and having a 1 in 4 chance that he's going to be out for 6 weeks again. I'd rather him be out for one game than be out for 7.
Do you reckon we could get Ignori to have a crack at left wing?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think they'd be tempted to. I mean, I guess the other side of things is João Gomes is going to be back fit because he was very in a similar situation this time last week, of course. So he's going to be fit, and whether Wolves go for sort of a 3-man midfield and have, I guess, Sarabia and Fraser up front and kind of go a bit more narrow, and you're very much giving the likes of Ignori a straight line in front of him to utilise.
I've done Sarabia a disservice there. I can't believe I forgot to mention him. Now him and Bellegarde and Fraser would be doable for now. But I think you're right. A 3-man midfield is the smartest decision here. Pack midfield with Doyle, Gomez, and Lamina, and maybe have Sarabi behind the striker. We know he's not an out-and-out striker, but he can play a ball, and that's where you should probably we'd get the best out of him.
This is an advertisement from Better Health Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team you flatter to deceive, and as the bed sheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on them, but when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause, and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, and again, you've got Jose Sarr as well, looking like he'll be back. And I'd be curious to see what he does in terms of, you know, maybe pushes Aitnori further forward, maybe tries to do something a little bit different to, you know, facilitate a little bit of a change. I'd be curious to see him go with a sort of more of a two up front. I'd be, again, unsure whether Fraser's 100% ready at this level, but, you know, if he's featuring in the cup, he got 45 minutes against Newcastle as well and didn't do himself a disservice. You've kind of got to keep putting him in the deep end at this point. And if Gary O'Neill trusts him, then you've got to back him, haven't you?
Yeah, I think, like I said on the last podcast, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure on the kid, especially being local as well. I think that adds to the pressure. But as you just said, if Gary O'Neill trusts him and come back in, then why shouldn't we? I think he made a comment after, I think it was a Newcastle game, and he said, if it's Fraser and I think it was Chuanda, who are up front for us, then like, so be it, kind of thing. So if he trusts them, then why not? I mean, I think it'll take a bit to get used to, obviously, because it's such a big difference. It's such a big world to step into. But, you know, he got his goal against Brentford. He got his goal against Blackpool. So, you know, he's just waiting for that Premier League goal now and just see how he goes, really. But I can't see why we shouldn't back him, really.
Yeah, I think hopefully he's kind of got support of players around him as well. And he's got someone like Sarabia who's quite intelligent. And you've got, you know, the likes of Lamina and Doyle and Gomez kind of propping you up, and hopefully it's only for a short amount of time as well. You know, when you particularly look at the Fulham lineup as well, I mean, it's a very, I call it a very industrious team. In a polite way, there's a lot of skill in there, but it's also quite a physically strong team as well, with the likes of Reed in there. I believe Polinia might still be suspended. Or we might be back. But what are your thoughts on sort of Fulham at the moment? Because they seem to be a team who are kind of very much quietly going about their business, and quietly again progressing up the table as well.
I think they're one to watch. You know, I think especially when they beat Man United at Old Trafford, I thought they deserved it. I think they're a decent side. And not many people talk about them, really, but they seem to just get on with the business, and they're not like, they're nowhere near relegation. They could maybe sneak into Europe or in the top 10, I'm not too sure, but they're kind of just like middle ground, really.
Yeah, I think by the time that we sort of hit good form around December, January, they start to fall off the radar a bit. And now I've starting to find their form again. That's why they're catching up, and we're maybe looking over our shoulders at them a little bit. And it's games like this Saturday where it's if you, for lack of a better word, it's a six-pointer. And they might be. There's all this talk about Wolves are could potentially look at Europe, and you know we're worrying about relegation originally, but now we're looking at Europe. But there's no reason Fulham can't aim for it as well. If the form's come at the right time for them, if they keep the momentum going, they're not going to be an easy opponent on Saturday at all.
No, I mean their form stands up. Even beyond sort of what Wolves is looking like. If you kind of look at their last few games, Brighton win against Man United. They lose to Villa in a close game. They beat Bournemouth. They draw to Burnley. Kind of very similar to ours. In fairness, you know, we've won three out of the last five, losing two. They've won three, lost one, drawn one. So, in terms of kind of form, you're right that they're 3 points behind us, and it is showing. We do have some breaking news, though. Fabio Silva has scored to get it past Benfica, make it 2-1.
Can we recall him now?
Just
get him on the lineup.
Bring him home. Bring him home, everybody.
I bet he'd love that because he's Porto boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I bet he'd love that one.
I was going to say, we give him that one.
Reckon he rolled up the fans.
Yeah, probably. Oh, yeah.
I imagine so. I imagine so. I think it's going to be a really interesting game at the weekend because it is a mid-table clash, quite literally. But it's two teams in half decent form who have still got quite a lot to play for. And you're right, Tom, that, yeah, Wolves, we're sniffing around for European places. We might be a little bit far off, but Fulham are, you know, a couple of wins away from really adding themselves in that conversation as well.
This game has got last on match of the day written all over it. Mid-table clash, but I can see it being I'm going to go for a bit of a goal fest here. I think both teams have got something to go for. It depends on how much firepower we have up front. If Neto doesn't play, and obviously without Huang and Cunha, but I can see two teams just wanting to go for the jugular. And I think both teams have got something to prove. It'll be an entertaining game.
Yeah, I'm really curious for it, and Polina should be back from suspension for him because he's missed the last two games. I mean, again, a couple of great YouTube comments on YouTube. Ed Marshall, Reed and Lukic are nowhere near Lamina and Gomez's league, and potentially that might be where it's won and lost. I mean, for me, it's all about the return of a certain. Sorry, guys. Apparently he didn't score. It was just an assist. He celebrated like he scored. So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
He
can't read. You can't believe everything you hear on the internet. even if it's from the trusted voice of Wolves Fancast.
Fake news making its way onto Wolves
Fancast. from quite literally us. I get the two people are. We were hoping for, I guess, a Molyneux return. Raul Jimenez looks like he's set to miss out. He is back in training, I believe, for Fulham, but I'm not sure if he's going to be fit enough, particularly when you look at the form of some of their forward players as well. But a player who has hit a little bit of form for them is one Adama Traore, gentlemen. What kind of reception do you think he's going to get if he plays on Saturday?
It's a really tough question because I was literally thinking about this earlier because, for example, look at like when Jota come back in the game, like a few people booed him, but as soon as he subbed, everyone claps him because we all appreciate the time he had. Now, Adama was one of my favourite players in the team. Like, he got a lot of hate, but I think obviously he's still doing it with Fulham. But what he was doing with Wolves was so unique. As soon as he got the ball, he would drive you so forward. Even when he got there and he put a cross in and it might have gone out for a throw-in. Like, that was the frustrating thing about him. But he had people on the edge of the seats. He was one of my favourite players, Adama was. So, I won't boo him. Definitely not because he's one of my favourite players. I wouldn't boo Raul if Raul plays. I think the only one I've probably booed from recent memory was Nunes, and that's just because of the way he went out of the club. So I think it'll be a mixed one, because a lot of fans give him a lot of hate because of some of the end product that he had, where he got to really good positions, and like as we said, he'd cross it out for a throw-in. But then there were times where he'd score a goal every, what, like 10 games or something, or he'd pop up with an assist somewhere. There was a lot of times where he'd do the running and he wouldn't have an assist or a goal, but he's made space. He made a lot of space for people. There was a lot of stuff that wasn't the numbers, if that makes sense. He was, you know, he's a very influential player. But I think for Fulham as well, what I've seen against Man United, he was so direct and in the middle, as with us, he was out wide. So he was just going wide and wide and wide. Like, could you imagine this man running straight at you? That is not a good sign for any defender. So I won't boo him when he comes back, but I think he'll have a bit of a mixed reception.
Yeah, it's so odd because he didn't leave under a cloud of smoke. He didn't massively angle for a bigger move or anything, nor did, you know, unfortunately, his time, it did leave such a huge imprint. It's such a strange one. I don't think your only two reactions at a football match should be cheer or boo, because, you know, there's surely a middle ground. But it is almost like, well, if you can't give him, you know, a standing ovation, it's like he probably deserves it, maybe. Or he just, I almost think he just doesn't serve to be booed. I think is how I kind of would look at it. Whether he deserves, I guess, the treatment Jota got when he, you know, when he's been substituted. And I think that's a good way of putting it. And again, I think Sean Crow in the YouTube comments says, you know, cheers until he scores, then boos. And that's probably the nicest way of putting it. I think it's just going to be bizarre to see him play against Wolves, to be honest. And, you know, part of me might, I'm going to hate it until he gets to, you know, in line with the six yard box, and
I still have some trauma from when we played Middlesbrough in 2018 and he was playing for them.
Oh yeah,
we were down to 9 men and it was just Traore running at us, and I remember watching that game and I was shaking. I thought, I've never been that scared of playing against another player. Like he was just, and then obviously we've signed him the next season. I was like, thank God. And when he left Wolves at the end of last season, I thought, well, you know, there was all this, you know, he was potentially stalling on contract talk and all that, and he got that loan move to Barcelona. So I think some fans may see that and maybe take that, and if they find an excuse to boo him, maybe that'll be it. Because I see absolutely no reason to boo him. I loved Adama when he was at Wolves, one of my favorite players to watch. But I think when he left last season, I thought, God, I hope he doesn't go to another Premier League club. I just don't want him to play against us again. And look what's happened. And he's just found form in time. You know, he got one assist against United and a goal against Brighton. It would be typical, wouldn't it, if he got a goal at the weekend?
Yeah, I was going to say it would be so Wolves, wouldn't it? I'll probably try and put a poll out on Twitter tomorrow about, in terms of, I think, what you feel your reaction is going to be when you see him come on. I think, you know what? He's always struck me as a genuine, quite a nice guy. Like, you know, he doesn't seem, despite the skills, despite the flashiness sometimes on the pitch, you know, doesn't seem to be almost much of an ego with him and things like that. And he always handled himself kind of quite properly. And I think booing him is a genuinely unfair reaction.
By all accounts, he seems like one of the nicest players we've ever had in our squad. You know, whether it was his charity work, his general demeanour and persona, he never really... He kept his emotions in check. He never really threw his toys out the pram or anything like that.
No. And I mean, for someone who constantly got kicked, like, in a way, almost, he didn't show enough emotion sometimes in terms of actually, like, you know.
I think he would, if he got angry, you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a, you know, a breaking of a Graham Hughes stand. impending, isn't there? If you rattled him too much, you know, for say, to not retaliate, you know, it must take sort of such nerve and mental strength, because he's probably had that since he was about six. He's always probably been quicker, faster, stronger than people, and it's the only way they can stop him.
As an absolute tank.
Yeah. at six.
Yeah.
He definitely doesn't deserve, you know, the boo treatment or anything like that. Whether he gets, you know, huge acclaim is, I guess, going to be a different matter. I think he deserves almost, you know, that nice round of applause sort of thing, doesn't he? Mm. So, but we'll see. He didn't play in the last game against Fulham, but I was looking back at it today and it was a fucking bonkers game. It's the only way I can describe it. There were penalties, there was VAR controversy. It had everything, guys. I mean, Sam, you mentioned about it being a score fest, you know, hoping for a score fest of the weekend. I mean, you know, just to relive this game, Alex Wobey opened the scoring in the 7th minute. Kuna equalised in the 22nd. Willian in the 59th minute scored the first controversial penalty. It shouldn't have been given. Like, you know, Tom Kearney clearly went down under his own legs from memory, and, you know, Semedo very, very much got the ball. Vinicius comes on, very amped up, tries to headbutt Max Kilman. Apparently, intent to headbutt isn't quite the same as a headbutt. And then in the you know, dying moments of the game. Apologies for Huang actually scores a penalty in all of this as well, in the 75th. And then, you know, deep into added time, Wolves can't quite clear their lines, and João Gomes brings down Harry Wilson in the box, and William dispatches the penalty. I mean, looking back, it just reminds me of how, like, pissed off we were kind of at VAR throughout most of the season, to be honest. But
yeah, you know, this was not a fun time to be a Wolves fan. It was right in the middle of all the VAR crap.
Yeah, it was. Funnily enough, this game was the first report I'd done with the Fancast,
and how was it?
Yeah. And I just remember writing it, and I was like, I really don't want to write about this because it was just about mainly VAR. But yeah, I think, to be fair, when we look back at that game, I thought we was incredibly unlucky. I mean, Huang's penalty was it Reid? I think it was Reid who took him out. He'd already been booked, and he just wiped him out and didn't get nothing.
Yeah,
and then
Ream. It was kind of over the top, and like, it was bizarre. Yes, gosh.
Yeah, and then obviously the Vinicius headbutt, and the referee said it was a soft headbutt. That's absolutely ridiculous. And then, as I said before about the Wilson penalty, when he goes to get that ball, where is he going? Because he's going away from goal. So he had one intention when he was going to get the ball, and that was go down in the box.
Yeah.
Were there any repercussions for that referee? Do we remember this far back? Can we remember if this ref got, like, demoted or taken away from games for a bit?
Not sure for that one.
Shocking.
No, this was kind of in the same sort of period as, you know, the Sheffield United, where we had a sort of similar style penalty went against us, and it almost actually made me kind of quite pleased, actually, because, you know, I do the review shows, reaction shows most weeks, and I can't remember the last time we talked about VAR.
Don't jinx it.
Well, we're going to have it Saturday now.
I know. Yeah,
you've only gone good now.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be like VAR in our favour or something. Or it's like, no, well, we knew when we get to talk about it, it's like blue cards, and, you know, oh, actually, should that be a different type? But it's just, I don't know. You look back on this game, there's been a few games in recent years where we've had decent fixtures against Fulham. But yeah, that game, we weren't quite at the races anyway against them, but we didn't get a bit of hindering from the referee that day. So hopefully Wolves can do them at a you know, return the favour, shall we say, at the weekend. Let's have a look at some of your games going on the weekend, because it is a full stack of fixtures over Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Early kickoff, we've got Wolves. We haven't got Wolves. Don't even know why I'm reading. I'm literally zoning in on us here. We've got Man United versus Everton. We've got Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Palace, Luton, Wolves, Fulham, and Arsenal, Brentford at 5:30 kickoff Saturday. Sunday, you've got Villa Spurs. That should be a good game. You've got Brighton, Forest, West Ham, Burnley. And closing off the weekend, you've got Liverpool, Man City. And then Monday night football is Chelsea, Newcastle. Are there any games sort of standing out for you, guys, either as a neutral that's going to be good to watch, or ones that you think have got a bit of an implication for Wolves in the next over a weekend as well?
I think, to be fair, there's some brilliant games in there. I mean, I think the Villa and Spurs will be a good game, but I think that depends, because Villa could maybe switch some of their side after the play they against Ajax. I think Arsenal will breeze past Brentford. Bournemouth and Sheffield United, that Sheffield United might give them a game, maybe. You could see, maybe could drop a bit of luck. The Palace and Luton, again, could be good for us if Luton could maybe get something. But I think obviously everyone's eyes are on the Liverpool City. And just looking at that, that is a really odd kickoff time. Quarter to four.
I'm curious why that's the case.
Yeah, it's a weird one, that is. But then I think on the Monday, I think Chelsea-Newcastle, that sounds good game. That does. I think there's some brilliant games in there, hopefully. A lot of goals.
I'm noticing that a lot of the teams around us some of them have quite winnable games. Bournemouth, for example, you know, Brighton against Forest. But then Chelsea, Newcastle, you know, it's a bit like Wolves, Fulham. Like, we're all teams in the same sort of area of the table. So it's for them, it might be another 6-pointer to get towards the European places. Obviously, looking aside, Liverpool, Man City is obviously the game. Apart from Wolves, Fulham, obviously, Liverpool, Man City is the game of the weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a lot of interesting kickoffs, and some of the, you know, say the Chelsea Newcastle one, that's obviously got direct implications for us, as well as potentially being quite an interesting mid-table affair. I'm quite keen to see Man United Everton, just because I'm a sadist.
Now that Man United are out of February, you know, their February form has ended now, and you know, hopefully they'll go back to being shit again.
Yeah,
you know, Everton will give them a game. You know, we know that Everton, you know, the no shrinking violets. You know, their points deduction aside, they're a good team. They might thrive on this kind of occasion.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. With Man United being a bit toxic still and not quite having the right, you know, momentum. You know, Sean Dyche loves to try and piss on chips, so I'm all for it. Yeah, right. Before we wrap up, let's have a quick look at the league table around our area. So Wolves are still 10th. We're still in the top half of the table on 38 points. So we're only 2 points off the magic 40. Not that that's really a thing anymore, is it? But you've got, in terms of how sort of things might pan out at the weekend, Brighton are a point ahead of us with a far superior goal difference, and similar with Newcastle as well. You know, 40 points, 12 plus 12, as opposed to our -3. Behind us, you've got Chelsea on 36, Fulham on 35. So Fulham win, they will go ahead of us in the table. And also you've got Bournemouth as well, who aren't quite in that pack. It is still very much 8th to 12th. But, you know, it won't take too much for potentially a Bournemouth to kind of squeeze. And if, you know, the rest of the teams in this mid-table pack can't hold their nerve, really. So, you know, say when you look at the weekend fixtures, you know, Bournemouth were, you know, likely to get a win against Sheffield United at home. Brighton at home to Forest will be looking to get a win. Chelsea, Newcastle obviously playing each other as well. So, and obviously we're against Fulham. So could see a lot of swinging in the league table come, you know, Monday, 10 o'clock.
I was going to say come back, and a lot of those teams will have swapped places by Monday, I reckon. Bournemouth, obviously, not quite there yet, but, you know, you'd bank on them being 5-0 up against Sheffield United at half-time, given the way that Sheffield United are playing. I think they'll be well up there at that point. And then four of those teams are playing each other as well. So it's going to be a very interesting weekend ahead.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, let's talk predictions, guys. I mean, you know what? I know, Sam, you're sort of looking for goals. I'm expecting and potentially almost hoping for a draw and kind of keep.
Yeah.
I don't want a draw.
I mean, as long as it goes in Wolves' favour, that's fine. But I'm with you. I think it's going to be I'm going to go 2-2. I think a score draw.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. How about you, Sam?
I think it'll either be like 1-0 Wolves or a 1-1. So I think if we score first, I think we'll hold on to it. But I think if they score first, I think we'll come back into it. But I think it'll end a draw if they score first.
Okay. I'm not quite confident we're going to have enough to really see them off. And we're going to have to rely on our defence on Saturday. So I'm going to go 1-1 and hope that, you know, we can see like a Nathan Fraser goal or something like that and really kind of see us forwards.
In the back.
To be fair, I talk about it every week in terms of, you know, players needing to step up to, because, you know, without Kuna, I say minor plug for Fancast. It's not, you should all be, if you're watching on YouTube, once you finish watching this, whether it's live or, you know, on playback, go to our YouTube channel and watch Gully's latest tactical analysis where he talks about us missing Kuna. And there's obviously a need, and like those midfield players are stepping up. But we're going to need our defenders to step up as well. And we had a really good great chance against Newcastle, and Toby Gomez headed over when it was 1-0. And we need players, like, not digging Toby Gomez out too much, but we're going to need to like exploit set pieces. We're going to need to get our defenders on the score sheet as well, because, you know, it's been really nice this season having our attackers score goals in Neto, in Kuna and Hwang. But Ben not probably going to be playing at the weekend, so other people need to fill the void, in my opinion.
Yeah, we've got to find goals from somewhere, and you know, I said before, like, I goal scoring this season is haven't we already surpassed the goal tally from the last few seasons? So, you know, we're clearly going in the right direction, but we're finding goals from different areas of the pitch. You know, we're a massive threat from set pieces. You know, we've got some good dead ball specialists in Sarabia and Doyle. And I don't, you know, we don't need to just always rely on players like Hwang and Cunha and Neto. I can see, you know, even our wing backs, you know, are looking there. Doherty's always got a goal in him if he plays. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about potentially scoring goals, especially against Fulham. I don't think they've got the best defensive record.
Yeah, I was going to say, really kind of keen to see how we match them. Of the weekend, and of course, guys, we will be here to talk about it on Sunday evening. We'll go through it, and hopefully we'll be talking about a win, and we can start preparing for a lovely quarter final as well, guys. One last thing, of course, before we go, if you haven't already, make sure you go check out Fanatics and Kitbag. Loads of offers on there. For you to make the most of. They've got a great range of Wolves wear at the moment, so training gear, retro stuff. They've even got the kits for this season as well. I'll put the link in the description for you to go access it. They've got deals on at the moment for if you spend over a certain amount, so you can get 25% off when you spend over, you know, £49, 30 if it's over £79 as well. And I think you can even get free shipping as well at the moment with the link that we've got in the Fancast just down there somewhere, or even on podcast just across there. Make sure you keep up to date with Wolves Fancast for your latest Wolves lols and trolls. We're on Wolves Fancast here, there and everywhere. And until next time, it's goodbye from Tom.
See you later.
It's goodbye from Sam.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you next time.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.